Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
Good morning. The scripture comes today from chapter 32. Verses 1 through 14. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us, as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off your gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from her ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf, and they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshiped and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. And of you, I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to you and your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Harvey. Always like to start out with something a little lighthearted, but this is not a true story. This is a folklore or a fable. It says that during a papal audience, an ad executive approached the Pope years ago and made the following offer. "Pope, would you change the Lord's Prayer? Instead of saying, 'Give us this day our daily bread,' would you say, 'Give us this day our daily chicken?' And then Kentucky Fried Chicken will donate $1 million to Catholic charities." The Pope declined. 2 weeks later, the same man from the ad exec approached the Pope and said, "Would you do it for $5 million? Again, the Pope declined. A month later, the man came back and said, "Pope, would you do it for $25 million? The Pope agreed. At a meeting of the cardinals, the Pope announced his decision with good news and bad news. He said, "The good news is we have just earned $25 million for charities. The bad news is that we lost the Wonder Bread account." Human beings have always been tempted to somehow be distracted from the true and living God, and to replace God with something that was not at all what God intended it to be. Did you ever wonder why that the first two commandments and the Ten Commandments are very similar? Thou shalt have no other gods, and secondly, thou shalt not make any graven image. Well, you know, for years the church has struggled with this because in the 8th and 9th century, the Byzantine Empire entered into this thing called the iconoclastic controversy, wherein they said we should not make any images that are in any way reflective or could detract from people's worship of the true and living God. And so images of Christ and images of Mary, the mother of Jesus, were greatly frowned upon. This same understanding grew even more strong during the Protestant Reformation. And that's why you see this difference. When you go into a Catholic church, you will see many images, many statues, many figures. In fact, if anyone's ever visited Johns Hopkins University Hospital in the administrative rotunda, there is this huge statue of Christ with his hands outstretched saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." I've always believed that art of any kind can be a meaningful way to draw our attention to God. And yet I'm always perplexed as why the children of Israel on this passage seem to be so off track. No longer has Moses gone up to the mountain to commune with God until they say to Aaron, "We don't know what's become of him. We need a God." Which would cause you to go, what had they allowed Moses to become? Had they forgotten that Moses was God's representative and not God? What happened to the children of Israel at this miserable place in their journey? God had redeemed them from 400 years of slavery, brutal slavery in Egypt, under harsh taskmasters. And now here they are, finally free, passing through the Red Sea, seeing the armies of Pharaoh crushed by the water and destroyed. And yet, they somehow believe that they need to revert back to that. You know, there were some people who didn't want to go out of Egypt. We're just content to stay right here. What are you going to do, take us out into the wilderness to die there? That's what they said to Moses. Moses had a hard job, didn't he? Leading that stiff-necked people. Do we ever sometimes get detracted and sidetracked from what the church's purpose should be? And I just want to say to you, I know we do. Do we ever get sidetracked and detracted to think that maybe certain things that we have allowed to become more important than just simply the Lord God Almighty? I remember my driver ed and teacher in high school was a fellow named Mr. Ellison. Mr. Ellison, and please don't take this as a commentary on my own perspective. This was his perspective, okay? But one day, he would lead Bible club for us. And we would go in and sit down during our lunch break and hear him talk about the Bible. And one day he came in and you could tell he was distressed. And he says, "Oh, I'm so perplexed right now." And he went on to tell us that he believed that the one thing he enjoyed so much in his life was playing golf. He loved playing golf. He was a very religious man, but he somehow got the idea that he had allowed his golf game to become more important than God. And so he decided to give up golf. And he was grieving over it. And I thought, well, maybe that is true. Maybe that does happen to us. Maybe sometimes we are like the children of Israel, that we allow, even though we know our lives are all about a gift from God and what we do with our lives is our gift back to God, but somehow we get sidetracked into thinking that we should, we focus on the wrong things. And maybe, just maybe, God is saying to his people on that day, when Moses came down from the mountain and found them worshiping a golden calf, which was a bull, by the way, and we have found in all the various artifacts and archaeological digs, many images of male virile bulls. The god Baal was often symbolized in that. But when he found them worshiping this golden calf, after Moses had told them plainly that the God who says, I am that I am, had brought them out of Egypt, God tells Moses, go down, your people. God doesn't even claim them any longer. Do you see that in the text? He says, your people, Moses, that you brought out of Egypt. God doesn't want to have anything more to do with them. And when Moses comes down with those commandments, no other God, no graven images, is it possible that God is saying, and the reason he made two commandments that are very similar, let's just get one thing straight here. If we're going to be in covenant with each other, no more bull. Okay? Let's cut the bull here. Let's get to it. You see, our God is a jealous God. It says that in the commandment, doesn't it? Our God wants our devotion to be wholly and fully and truly to him. And sometimes that's a struggle. If we're honest, sometimes we forget just what it means. Sometimes we worship things that we shouldn't worship. People worship the pastor. People worship the church building and the way it looks. And we forget that worship is all about worshiping God. And God is invisible and mortal and always wise. And you can't confine God to any place. Although, I will say this, there have been many times in my life where I've looked out over a scene like the Grand Canyon and gone, oh my God, what hath thy hand wrought? There's nothing wrong with looking at the beauty of the world or even the beauty that someone else has made and say, God has blessed this magnificent gift. But to worship that more than the one true living God is always going to be a disastrous thing. People will worship all kinds of things. They'll worship the building. They'll worship the order of worship. They'll worship their pastor. And it just shouldn't be that way. And sometimes I have met people over these many years of ministry who have neglected their family, who have neglected their responsibilities in order to do work at the church. The question that I'm asking is very simple. I'm going to wrap up here. Is there any place in our lives, any place in our journey, that we have allowed some bull to slip in and become more important than the things God wants to be important? Is there any place that I need to say, oh God, have mercy on me? And is the real issue that Moses is struggling with God in this text, and that's why I had him read all 14 verses, because Moses comes back to God and says, God, surely you don't want to destroy these people. Surely you don't want to wipe them from the face of the earth. These are your people. Is it possible that what Moses is entering into with God is this conversation is, God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've always been merciful. You've always been gracious. Would you wipe these people out completely and start over? You know, some people say that the greatest beauty of Noah's Ark is that it represents a loving God. Because if God was really, if the text is really true that the world was filled with nothing but evil, then God could have just wiped everybody from the face of the earth. But it says about Noah that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Whatever in our life might be detracting us from being true to God, whatever we might be putting a little bit too much emphasis on that we shouldn't, let me just say the good news today is this. We have a God of love and grace who's willing to give us another chance. Everybody needs a second chance. You know, in my lifetime, I'm sorry to say that there have been people in my life that I have been tempted to write off. I'm done with them. God doesn't do that. and neither should we. God looked down. Moses said, surely you don't want to. God said, Moses, okay, go on down. And Moses got angry with him. Remember what he did? What did he do with the commandments when he got down there? He broke them, right? He was mad. We get mad sometimes. We get frustrated. We get angry. But remember, in the end, the one true God is a God of love and grace and calls us all to be a little more compassionate, even with those people who have done us wrong or have let us down. Remember what I said to you the first Sunday I came? I don't know if you remember that or not. I said this to you. I'm honored and privileged to be your pastor. But if I serve you as pastor, I promise you one thing. There will be a moment when I will disappoint you. And guess what? There'll be moments that you'll disappoint me. But we're all God's children. And in spite of our failures and faults and mistakes and putting the wrong emphasis in the wrong place and making our images and putting the bull in the wrong place, God still loves us all. Amen? And God wants us all to be His children. The temptation is not the bull. The temptation is to forget that God is a God of love and grace. Let's not ever forget it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
So stubborn and so restless from the start. I don't want to fight you anymore. So take this rebel heart and make it yours. Father, I no longer want to run. You've broken my resistance with your love and drowned it underneath the crimson spill. So bend this rebel heart unto your will. I give it all over to you. I give it all. Your love is like an arrow, straight and true. And now this rebel heart belongs to you. Help me lay the renegade to rest. Turn the stone inside me back to flesh. And hold me till my bed. Defenses fall, and watch this rebel heart surrender all. I give it all over to you. I give it all over to you. Your love is like an arrow, straight and true. This rebel heart belongs to you. Oh, take my life and let it be yours. Oh, take my life and let it be yours.
Take my life and
Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.